This is 8th race, 10:30. This will give you a little indication of how turf horses tend to run, too. Okay, who owns the first fraction?
World.
Right. And who has the second fraction? Well, who owns it? Hero has it. Hero owns it. Hero owns the second fraction. Who owns the third fraction?
Individualist.
Okay. So you have to look at those three horses first. I always like to take, this is just a personal preference, I like to work in reverse and then figure the race. How did the horse that owns the best third fraction do before that? Well, the horse was in contention at the first call. He's in contention. He's one of the... But look what he does in the second fraction. This is a turf race, remember. This is the all-important... He dies, despite the fact I would say that his sustained pace rating of 3 was unwarranted, because he dies so badly in the second fraction. When you run that badly in the second fraction, what you do is turn to the race. Let's turn to the individual's race and see if he had trouble in the second fraction. Actually behind, he gained a little on the pace of his own race. But he did not gain on the dream pace of today's race. He lost badly against it. So today's dream pace, we automatically know, is much better than the pace he ran against. And he did not get in trouble because he gained on the pace he was running against. So he has no trouble excuse there. So what the horse merely did was run one good fraction, slide back, and then on tiring speed made a little move at the end. So individuals can be absolutely eliminated from that race. That's why I like to do the one owning the third fraction first, because it says whether or not you can get rid of that closer, especially in a turf race where closers dominate. I want to see if the lone real heavy closer, when we're talking closer now, we're not talking sustained, just closing fraction. He's out. Okay, we got to say that Hero was the dominant, owned the second fraction. Hero made the big move. We also know that the first fraction in a turf race is discountable. If you make that severe move, that's where the move has to be made. And the horse that's going to make it has got your best opportunity of winning. Then he carries that all the way through to the third fraction. He has, as a matter of fact, the second best third fraction. So he's got to buy an alarmingly high second fraction. He made a good move and sustained it to the end. That's the kind of horse you're looking for, especially in a route and especially in a turf route. Now, look at the place horse, World. World owned the first fraction. He's got a substantial lead. He runs evenly. Relative to his first fraction, he runs, look at the horses that were close to him are Gala and World, or Gala and Individ. He is World. So he really has only got Gala now to be concerned with. So you've got it down now to the horses that came in first, second, and third. Now, this is not always just to pick your winner. This is to make sure you've got the right contender. You're seeing who the contenders are. You're never going to be surprised when that kind of analysis gets you the horses that earn the money. Now you go to your readouts, of course, to determine that Hero also owns the best W, also owns the best sustain, the best turn time. The World is the second best W, and being the first best early, you might expect him to place, which is what he did. Etand, whose figures are good and whose percentage is good, you say to yourself, why doesn't Etand look better than that? You look up at his fractions and it tells you right away. He was not much in contention in the first. He made one move and then he did not sustain that move to the end, dropping back to a 52-40. We've already eliminated him, so we know that his numbers are right. Individual has the same problem. Now these are the kinds of things that you can look at when you want to make strictly little side bets on place and show, and when I say side bets, from a bank in orderly manner, but you can make a lot of money on show on those kinds. In this case, you got 440 to show. It's an even-paced horse. He doesn't start off with any great authority, but he picks up, and relative to World, who is definitely a more spectacular type of horse, has greater fluctuation, he's even. And if World doesn't make that spectacular move to get it into second, then that's your horse. Gallant Archer, I would say the only problem it had, and I would get that from my percentage early, is that it was just a little bit, waited just a little too long. Didn't have enough kick early. It didn't manufacture a big enough move in the second fraction to overcome its early deficiency. And you can really do that by adding the difference in the feet per second, subtracting the difference from one to the other and see what it makes up in feet per second. But you get a pretty good indication in both of these races. Both of these races that we just did, the counter energy horse placed. When I say counter energy, you say, well, why? If Gallant is really a much more counter energy, but it's an extreme counter energy. There is an extremity of counter energy which does not place or do anything. It may show in a turf race, but generally speaking, you want to take the counter energy horse that has something to show in the W and the early. Yes, sir.
The counter can be either high or low.
It is merely a percentage of early energy that is deviant from what is winning. Another reason you want to look at here is, as the horse, three of your horses, or two of your horses, had better second fractions than first. This bothers a lot of people. It's very common in a turf race, and it's very common at many distances at certain tracks. Golden Gator, Bay Meadows, being one of those two, has a history, I forget which one it is, has a history of second fractions being faster than first as often as not.
You change them? You still reverse them?
No, we don't reverse them anymore because we have greater tools to work with. We change them only when you want a deceleration pattern that is even, and then you could change them. But that's an artificial thing we don't have to do anymore. We're all much more hip than that.
What would have written a manual for?
What would without looking at the pace line, just looking at the fraction, what would a faster second fraction than a first fraction tell you about that race? Let's say it's a round. Either the horse was off slowly, or he had trouble somewhere early in the race.
Either going wide on the first turn, or
it's a route, you know, wide to the clubhouse turn, and then when he gets front way out there.
Now that turn hurts him more than the other turn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we thought of that, so we looked at the race, and it turned out it didn't. It just, that's the way it runs.
Yeah, right.
So whenever you see those deviations, look to turn to that brace again, say, hey, what counts for it? And if that's a standard pattern for the distance of the track or the horse runs, then you know it wasn't trouble. If it was trouble, now you might say, hey, wait a minute, that's not the way he usually runs. Let me use another pace line. That's the beauty of seeing a deviant fraction.
Well, I think this buoys up what you said before and what Bob said and everybody else said. Don't just take everything cold the way it is. Think. Look back and see what's working.
You can't be the best program. You've got to think.
Vegetables can get 60%. If you want 60%, be a vegetable, because a little thinking is very dangerous. A little thinking can drop you down to 55 from 60. If you want to be automatic and just do it the easiest possible way, run your horses through the numbers and collect your 60% and laugh at all the other people's energies they spend to get to 70 and 80. But you can get 60 with just following a basic pattern, and so you are a dumb, you have a race and you miss it. But if you'll total up your races at the end of the year, you got 60%. Look at Jay. Jay is, to me, an inspiration. Bridges. Jay Bridges decided to do one full year. He didn't put much money into it, $2 a cross on two horses, $12 a race. He did the whole meet. And he ended up with 63% or 62.8%, but he also made $6,500 on these $2 win bets, which would be $65,000 a year on $20 win bet. And he only used UltraScan, and he only used one readout, and we're going to publish it. But he went meticulously, even without thinking. He did not use early, late. He used just the UltraScan readout that he was depending on. So you can make money by divorcing yourself from all this intellectual exercise, but you won't make as much, and it'll happen in a surprising streak. It'll happen, and you won't know why. You've got to stay dumb. If you're going to start dumb, stay dumb. Don't get smarter in between, because that'll hurt you. Spencer's a good example. When he was dumb, he used to win. He started studying all this stuff, and he went into the toilet, and then slowly pulled up. Seventh race, 10:30. I want you to get used to doing this, and you're going to have some. You got two horses that own the first fraction, and virtually three. You can virtually say you have three horses with the same, right? Sasha, Spice, and Peggy. Who owns the second fraction? Who owns the third fraction? Let's see what we can do about yours. Can you get rid of yours on the basis of that third fraction?
No.
You sure can't. It's in contention. It's one of the... They're all in contention at the first, even though 2.2 feet per second. But what does it do? It now becomes... I'm talking about Marie now here first. Marie becomes... Yours owns the third fraction. Yours is in contention with the rest of them at the second fraction, even though it's behind at the first. But it came on. Now, Marie's the one we have to be worried about. Why is Marie sort of in contention at the first if yours is? Makes a brilliant move, and then what does it do?
Falls flat.
Look at the second fraction in here of yours anytime. Compare
it to Sasha's Joy, Angel Spice, and Peggy D. They're almost virtually all four of them tied.
Well,
so,
the Oliver within
60
on the second fraction.
Right. 1/6, so that's pretty close, but that third fraction, that's the one.
Okay.
It's the one because it was not out of contention at either of the other two. Made a nice move.
Now look at the third fraction. So we have the two best third fractions.
Yours anytime and Eastern Spice.
Who ran first and second in the race?
Yours anytime and Eastern Spice.
If I look at this pace matchup, they're almost even. Both two horses.
In fact, the second call beating lengths, there's only 2.37 between the first and the last.
So when you have that many horses in contention early, now you're looking for a horse who'll make a move and then increase its velocity to the end as that horse did. Because you've got three horses who are going to tire on each other. Sasha, one of the early owners, drops down to dangerously to 50. Peggy, the other one of the three, drops down to 51 97, who does not drop of the early leaders? Spice, right?
Right.
Well, Spice is practically a lock to win her place.
I was just going to ask, did you say that as far as the peers are concerned, that based on the fractions, Eastern Spice ran the best race and just didn't win?
That's right.
But the base is six and the race is six and a half.
Well, I mean, but don't worry about it. Look, you don't need to look at that. It's nice to know that. It's nice to know that you're going to have a little bit more final fraction in there. But you're going to have a little bit more final fraction anyway, unless you own the lead. And this horse, they're virtually on top of each other in that lead.
A horse like Eastern Spice. Say, for example, the next time around, and we don't see any other horse in the race that can go in the 60s, this is the type of horse that can get the lead and wire the field.
That's right. A 60-12, when it's not facing a lot of other 60-12s, right, will probably have an easier time. It'll run a better second fraction and coast home. Won't have the same pattern. Won't need to have the same pattern. But you see the value of looking at that. Also, look at the early pace up above on all of them. I mean, you got a high of 57.93 and a low of 57.35, a 0.62 difference in the early pace. So all these horses were in contention based on that. So based on that, who are the two horses with the best sustained pace? Who are the
winners?
There you go. I'm just showing you about what you can find from these readouts. If you want to take the time, this goes very fast. You don't sit in, but it's good to talk to yourself at first. Say, hey, where is so-and-so at the beginning? How much is it behind? 2.7 feet per second. How much did it make up in the third fraction? 1.98. Well, right there you got a problem. Did it do something in the second fraction that was so outstanding that it'll overcome that deficiency it still has? If the answer is yes, and it was sensational, then you've got a contender. That all the horses were in contention early, right? With the early pace. So if they're all in contention with the early pace, doesn't it tell you that the horse with the best sustained paces are going to win in are going to be up there? I mean, if there was a marked leader in early pace, then we wouldn't expect him to have to use these early. But since they're all very close, they're only 60 points apart, 0.60 apart in the entire race, now you've got to look. I don't care if this track was running early, what it was running. This is where ESP comes in. How it's running is overcome very frequently. If it's early, you'll have too many horses that are running early and nothing else. They're going to kill each other off. Something's got to give when they're all tied at the second call. Okay, the third race, both of them were relative long shots. For those of you who shy away from $10 horses and lean toward $4 and $5 horses, let's look at Icy Run. Who owns the best first fraction? Icy Run. Who drops off the worst in the second fraction? Well, this is the beauty. This is Sam Sedgwick's favorite thing. You remember Sam? His favorite thing was handicapping on primarily hidden fractions. Turn time was his big indicator. Now, his daughter thought that Sam handicapped on turn time. I was going to write a book for us on that basis, and I explained to her that turn time didn't win that many races. It was a combination of what the horse did in turn time relative to the rest of the race. But when you see a horse drop off tremendously in the second fraction, you're looking at a false favorite. Now, granted, it had a 0.90 advantage the first fraction. But when you drop off that bad, look at the advantage. Look at the advantage, for instance, that, well, just look at Barry's advantage over it. 2.13 feet per second. It didn't have a 2.13 feet per second over anybody, except the seas. Okay, now you can see that the horse that owns the first fraction is losing contention rather fast. So you say, well, I'm going to still look at it. Now let's see who owns the second fraction.
Very classy lady.
Okay, very classy lady. Now, what's very classy lady is going up at 440 to 1. That's 9 to 2. You see a 9 to 2 horse on there, and you say, well, gee whiz, must not be too good. It's one of the top 4 or 5 on the morning line, but that's not the one that everybody thinks is going to win. Then you look at that second fraction, hidden from the public. Remember this. The one fraction that still remains hidden from the public is turn time, the second fraction. A lot of people, anybody looks at the first fraction, boy, look at their speed burner. A lot of them look at the second call, say, boy, that horse really goes. A lot of them can now extrapolate the second call from final time and look at a third fraction. They talk about, look at the closers, or they look at the lengths gained. Boy, there's a closer for you. But how many times you go to the track and stand next to one of those loudmouth yahoos to tell you about how fast the horse ran turn time or the second fraction? Not, I've never heard of one. Have you? Anybody talk about the second fraction? Okay, there's your secret. There's your weapon you got. Look to see what a horse does with that second fraction. That's why the Dream Race second fraction thing, it can be, it, Huey is doing a book for us, and we were talking about it. He's going to call it the fulcrum. The second fraction is the fulcrum. Like in the teeter-totter, the thing that keeps it teetering and tottering, it's right there. The second fraction is where the teeter-totter comes from. So the horse that owns, even though you got a couple that are close, you have to say, now, what are those two horses that were close on the turn? Oh, they all made a move on the turn. Of the horses that made a move on the turn, which one sustained it to the end?
Very classy lady.
Very classy lady. In fact, it's...
Absolutely.
Now, with that kind of total energy, it does not surprise you that the horse went virtually wire to wire. Now, C's, once again, we've got a very even situation. Makes a little move, runs the best third fraction. A horse that picks up the pieces is C's. You could, if you were to just practice and bet place, you got yourself 940 for a show. I mean, you could just pick up. Here's the horse going to pick up the pieces. If anybody dies, who is it? Pays 940 to show. People ask you, certain way you always go and make those little $2 show bets, cashing them all the time. You drive me crazy. That's why. I look at the fractions relative to the Dream Race. If you look at the fractions now, you can see where you'll never make those mistakes in readout, because here's what happens to some people, and it doesn't happen to the guys who created the rankings. The rankings came to us through a computer genius in New York, a friend of Michael Pizzola's. We didn't know how to sort. We could not do a sort program on a computer. And he showed us the problem with the rankings is that 5 and 6 may be tied and be only 10 points off of 1. So if you strictly use the rankings, you can get away with it and win a lot of races, but you can also, as John knows, win a race and lose it at the window because you failed to see the relationship. When you're ranking on W, turn time is a very, very important readout anyway. But when you're ranking on W, it's very important. So here's a horse. The three early, even if it was early, even if the distance were being run early and you were looking for early, the relationship of this horse's early pace to its fractional running is such that that horse would not surprise me if he took the lead against this group. And not only can he run early with the best of them, but within point whatever of the best of them, 0.3 something, 4, 0.40 of the best of them, he closes relative to where they were at the beginning, the horse closes tremendously. He's got the best sustained pace. He's not tied. He doesn't have the best third fraction. Almost has the best third, but he doesn't have the best first third fraction. He gained it by having a combination of a good third fraction with being in contention at the second call, and the rest of them showed a tendency to fall off. So that horse, that race came out exactly the way it predicted to come out.
Talking about the ties and sorting, I thought I thought it said that the ties were based on .02, but in the double, Barry and the hind are .04 difference, but they're still tied in number one.
It is .05.
Ties in the rankings, and if those bother you, do this, and you will never be worried about a horse that has a 5W, for instance, if it's a contender. Yes, sir?
In your routes, your second fraction has the least weighting, is that correct?
In our computer programs, it has the least weighting. It doesn't have any weighting.
The
significance of the second fraction is very, very important when you're looking at it as an individual fraction. The problem with compounding that into a W, for instance, or an early pace, as such, is that being a shorter distance, it overwhelms. So you don't want to compound it. That's all we're saying. It still has an immense, more important, really, in routes than in sprints. Try to get your winners from here. What you're looking for is a substantial, and you, here's why it what you said would be theoretically correct if you were compounding it, but individually incorrect since we're not, is because all of them are going to suffer or be penalized equally because they're all coming from a second fraction of the same distance. So it's mutually effective. You cannot use it when you're compounding only because when we tried to do it that way, it created more losers than it should have. So your dream matchup, you don't use it as Bradshaw can do it, and some of us do, but we miss some of the time too. We don't just try to pick the winner just from that. But it shows you how the contention of the race is and who just is hopelessly out of contention. And it gives you those three horses who usually finish 1, 2, 3, and sometimes you'll have four horses and they'll finish. It helps you evaluate the race, but what it does mostly, and the main reason for this exercise, the secondary reason for this exercise, is when you have difficulties in understanding your rankings in synergism, you see a 4, and you say a 4 is no good, but now it tells you to see how that 4 was earned relative to its other numbers, and you're going to see that the 4 might take consideration or it might be absolutely out. You're not going to say, I want my top 2 X, Y, Z, or whatever it might be. You're going to start looking beyond that top 2-ism. It's not just Hertz and Avis in this business. There's a budget that comes in there, too.